Okay, good evening, everybody. We're still doing, we're at the end part of Avos HaChesed, and we're touching on the end of Meiser, and we'll do a fifth today also, and then one or two more chapters about giving or helping people in need, and then we'll jump to other types of Chesed. Actually, quite happy. I just finished my Rav, where I dive in this Kurlo. Of course, we're saying Sfira. Tonight's the 35th night of the Omer, which means there are 15 days away from Shavuos, and when you think about Shavuos, of course, everyone thinks about Torah, and the Kabbalah of Torah, the acceptance of Torah. I spoke about last week about my conversations with that not yet from Jew from with a very wealthy background who I was trying to reinforce to him the importance of Jewish education and in building Jewish people, and if you don't have Torah, you can do all the chesed in the world, but you're not going to have a klal yisrael. So we who understand the value of Torah, of Yiddish education, that without Jewish education, without kolos, without Torah, without us studying, there is no future for the Jewish people. But we, on the other hand, actually also have to focus tremendously on chesed, and about the whole sphere is about working together with klal yisrael, caring about our fellow Jews, respecting others, thinking about others. That's our hachana to a large extent. That's our preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And when we have the Torah, so many of the laws, as we discussed in the beginning, the Chafetz Chaim talked about how many halachas, how many laws that are the Torah stresses chesed. I actually am learning one of my chavrusas is one of the heads of Chabad Yeshiva. And we've been learning Tanya actually for 4 years, and the Sefer Tanya really focuses on Staka tremendously as this kapara, as uplifting the soul. So it's really a good opportunity for all of us, not only to work on our chesed and our Staka tonight, but also as a preparation for Matan Torah, preparing us for Shavuos on a spiritual level. Okay, so last week we discussed Meiser, tithing. Then there's one more chapter which is connected to this, and that's this chapter. That's this parak Esther 20. Isa b'ksubas. The Gemara says in Ksubas they were masakin in Usha. Now Usha, after the Chorban, after the destruction of the Second Temple, for centuries, immediately after the destruction of the Second Base, the Second Temple, the Sanhedrin was in Yavne. That's in the south. But shortly after, it was after a few years, it went to the north. And for literally generations, it was in Tveria, it was in Tiberias, it was in Sipuri, and for a period of time, it was also in Usha. And when the Sanhedrin was in Usha, there were Masakin, Hamavazvez, someone who was very charitable, very, very giving. You actually have to limit him, if you have a boundary. Ayavazvez Yoyser Mechamish. He cannot give more than a fifth. Shema, what are we concerned about? Yitzarech Labrias. Now, we'd say charity is a great thing, right? So, but what would happen if you give too much? You're going to end up being dependent yourself. You're going to hurt yourself in the process. And the sages were worried about that. And for that reason, they made a tikkana that a person can't give more to the fifth than a fifth. Now, the Chafetz Chaim is going to elaborate on some of the exceptions of the rule. Which is pertinent to everyone, which is it, because again, what the Chafetz Chaim will really do for us is he'll clarify the ideals, how we give charity, when actually we can give more than a fifth if we're capable or we want to. We're not obligated to do that, but when you could give more than a fifth if you wanted to. Imoshu Asher Mufog, right? If you're Warren Buffett, actually I just saw this week a list of the 10 richest people in the world. It's crazy. 10 richest people in the world, and 5 of them don't promise us. All we need is Tucker Carlson to find out this, or Candace Owens, or all the jihadi followers who, conspiracy theories. 5 of them were Jewish. I was like floored. You had Mark Zuckerberg on that list. You had Sergey Brin, Larry Page. Those are 3 people from the Bay Area. Everybody's like, should be. Could have built, they can support the thousands of Kreidel guys in San Jose, if they so wished, right? Then there was Michael Dell was on that list. Maybe Larry Ellison. I forget the fifth one. Maybe Larry Ellison. But five of the ten were Jews. If they wanted to give 20%, they would be worth hundreds of billions of dollars, even if they get 20% of their income. They would be so wealthy. It wouldn't affect them. Usha's worried about people becoming poor or becoming it. Don't worry. Michael Dell gives 20%. He'll be fine. Let's lie to the parents. Now, they should give to us. They should give to Claudius. Unfortunately, many of them don't know better. It's a loss. But if you're an usher Mufluk, there's no problem to give. Usher was really wealthy. Dechen, he quotes Toysis, that's a Toysis says that, and the Chachmas Adam both say that, it's the parentheses. Dechen Levaz is Koydim Meiso. Four person dies. Now, I'm sure many remember that I do have a law background, and had I ever done law, it would have been trust in the states, because I thought that was a good way to help people. Actually, I think I've mentioned this vignette. At one point, I thought a good way to help people would be like family law, had I ever practiced law. And Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky said, no, you can never do that. He was very against that because he said, in family law, you're always going to be hurting the family. Right? You have custody things. And if you're hired as an attorney, you're not necessarily getting custody to the best person. Right? You're dealing with all kinds of things when you're hired as an attorney. Whereas trust in the states is much more collaborative. Certainly, if you're not in litigation, you're actually repairing the walls, you can be very helpful to people. Now, from a religious perspective, one of the main things you'll do is you're going to prepare your final journey. I actually have a lecture that I gave many years ago. It's online on Think Torah, preparing for your final journey. And one of the things you want to do is have a will. And in your will, the Gemara says, one of the times you can be very charitable is, you're not worried about becoming poor, is in your will, on your death. You can give much more. And then these quotes, the Shulchan Aruch says, in your Deos, Reishvim Tes, you can give up to half of your estate. You can give as much as you, or say, Shulchan Aruch says, give whatever you want. You give 70-80%. The Achronim say, really, you should give no more than a third, and we would pass it with no more than a half. As the Gemara says in Ksubis, Samach Sayim Abayis, Mar Ukfa was the Reish Galusa, he was the exilarch, he was the lay head, the political head of the Jewish people, came from the house of David HaMelech. Shamar Koydimus, here's this fabulous wealthy person who had a big estate, and he said before he died, he wanted to give a lot of tzedakah. He gave a tremendous amount of tzedakah. This is it's a long journey, i.e. eternity. He wanted to have schosim, he wanted to have merits, uzvadin kalila, and you don't need so much, you need some shrouds, you need a grave, lenachas tzedakah, he wants to give a lot of his possessions to charity. That merit will be there forever, right? If you invest your charity correctly, if you give it to Stanford, I don't know if you get anything for that, but if you give it to Lakewood, you're going to get a merit. If you give to support poor people and they build the future Jewish people, or you give to a yeshiva and they educate Jewish kids and you have generations afterwards, literally generations afterwards, if you build a kollel, that's transformative if you help a shul. You know what I mean? A shul, you have all these people davening, all their tefillos, all their ruchnias, right? That you're going to have an eternal investment. If you give to a library or a museum, if you give to a college, you're probably supporting the anti-everything Torah kamat. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, from the ideologies to the anti-Israel to it's a miracle people walk out, they're normal. I don't say that lightly. Once upon a time, people went in this country to go to college for education, to learn parnasa, to get a profession. Today, they don't know. They learn if they're for a boy, if they're a girl, if there's any morality, if the anti-America. I mean, I think that I saw a statistic in a lot of colleges, like not 96% Democrat, like far left. You know, they brainwash these kids and destroy them in the process. So don't give to a college, you're not going to get anything out of that. You may get extra nevera. But if you give to Torah, you give to tzedakah, you give to chinuch, you give to education, you give to bati knesias, you give to people, right, who are real and tzrachim, you're building eternity. And that's, so in your, when a person dies, this is very, I'm elaborating on this, because anybody who ever listens to this should think about this. This is a very serious decision, right? What you do with all of your chassid, I think I've said this, my father has a CPA firm, my father has got over the years tens of millions of dollars with tzedakah from not religious people, many of them, right? People who you know, who has merit. He's one person, I think, I'm not sure if I said this on this share, but I've said it before, he literally convinced him he had no children, no real immediate family, and he gave a few dollars to some second cousins, and all of his estate, millions of dollars, went to Torah. Stocka chesed. And I once, that's what Shmuel Kamenetsky, I said, how is it shy? This guy had no, to all we could see, real religious connection, and yet all of his possessions are going to invest it for eternity. He's going to, you know, his yard sale was this week. I know my father organizes every year a minion. Usually it goes to Israel very often for this individual. Millions of dollars at Stocka. If Shmuel told me that, there's no question he had some merit. He had some schus, which gave him that merit, that all his possessions go to tzedakah. So this person is getting a chelik in all of these realities. People should think very carefully for their final journey, where they want their possessions. Now we'll get to, in a little bit, if you have children. Now the reason why it's up to 50%, the Achronim say, is because if you have children, you should be supporting them. Now, we'll see in a little bit that if your children are not going to bring you merit, they're not a good investment. Right? So perhaps you have to give them something because they'll hate you, you know, but realize, you know, if your children are going to give you Yiddish and Achas and Shemayim, right, then you should give them a lot. Because that's you. That Ruach Kodesh, a child is the foot of the father. That's why they say Kaddish, and it's effective. That's why the child, every time they do a mitzvah, the parents, the grandparents, and anyone who is involved in that, right? If a great-great-great-great-grandfather put his kid into yeshiva, and because that kid went to cheder, his great-great-great-grandson is religious and keeping some things, then he gets a mitzvah. I have no doubt that many of my ancestors are going to, right as we give this year, it's in their merit. I would not be here today. So every time I will return, they have a dividend. 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 800 years ago, you know, I'm named as my great-grandfather as a Chassidus Shia. My other great-grandfather started Chinuch. My grandmother, when she came to America, you know, and had no money, cried to get my father into yeshiva because she remembered her father. You know, they had literally nothing. They were survivors. They had 6 years of the Holocaust, 4 years of DP camps. They come to a country not speaking a word of English, but her father is in her mind. And let alone the merit, I mean, of course they're going to get that. So if you have children and grandchildren who are good investments, of course you invest in them. But if they're not good investments, chas v'shalom, a person should make sure they have merits. They have to make sure they have schusim. They have to have merits. I'm elaborating. It's important. This is like really eternal investments. I remember someone told me, a Jew, he gives a salvation army. Put your will together, salvation army. Every Marcus and Christina gives a salvation army. You're going to get any merit for that? Maybe they have something ever have. What are you doing? People have to think about this. I mean, I'm stressing this because it's very important. This is very important. You can have eternity, okay? Or a person could squander that. And in your lifetime, you can't do this, but, you know, you could have. Most people, I don't know anyone who's fabulously wealthy who's on right now, who can give just like 50% of their income, right? Like that. But in your death, you could. You're allowed to. And maybe, depending on your family, you have to ask a shayla. I'm just to stress. They said last week, all meister shaylas you should ask. To Rebbe, someone who cares about you, who's unbiased, who understands you, very important. But this has to be part of a thought process. Very important. And of course, everyone should have a will, right? Yesh Oimrim, Further, we say Aliyavaz is Yosef Mechon. You should give more than a fifth. So you can give more than a fifth if you're fabulously wealthy, right? You're Sergey Brin, you're Mark Zuckerberg. So let's work on them. They can give more than a fifth. Find them. And I'm happy to meet them for lunch. I'll fly in even. let me know your appointment for me, please. You can give more further if you're wealthy, and you can give more up to a half on your deathbed, which I.e. on your will. Okay, those are exceptions to the rule so far. Yesh Ermer, said the Chabad Chaim, another exception would be, Ayivad is Yosef Mechayim Mishchanuk, she writes it ba'atzmo, l'chapesh achranim. That means if you're looking for poor people, or for charities, then you can't get more than a fifth. Aval chashebo, l'fanev anim, re'evim, or a room of people starving. I stress, in the 19th century, people starved to death. People froze to death if they didn't have clothes. Nobody was helping them. So they're coming to your door, right? To the extent you can, I'll get to help them. You have to help them. Or you see prisoners, captives, right? You can redeem captives. In those days, in the armies, it took captives, and they can throw you into, essentially concentration camps where people basically perished. Okay, and you can redeem Yiddish captives, Jewish captives. You're obligated to do that if you're able to. Kasher tziva shemis brach, but someone says you can give even more than a fifth, right? And you're not only allowed to, it's an act of piety, right? Venir demari, but if you're allowed to, or it's pious, or it's not literally life and death. But if it's life and death, when someone's going to starve to death, or die, or be brought to death, there's no such thing as a fifth, right? If somebody, below Amar Bab Metzia, when the Gemara says Bab Metzia, that if a person's in the desert, and they have one cup of water, right, and there are two people, and you could drink, you should drink it, you drink it, your life is first, that, says the Chafetz Chaim, Ach Bechav Kol Chavero, is if it's your life. But if you're wealthy, if you have extra, and you're in the desert and you have a cup, but you want to save your cup for later, of course you have to give it to the guy. Not because you save it later because you're gonna need it. If you're gonna need it, you take your life comes first. But you like to have a little extra. I once many years ago read the book biography of Mike Truss, who was the first head of Aguda in America. And someone was talking about Mike Truss, when he was involved in the CPA, and he was after his death, he said he was blown away. During the Holocaust, this man who would go to the extremes of the world to save Jews dying in the Holocaust, mortgaged his house. He's all he was a wealthy man before the Holocaust, and just mortgaged himself to the hell to save Jews. I'm not saying we're not going to do that, but let's say the following thing: there are Jews dying in the Holocaust, and you could save their lives. You're going to say, "I can give a fifth. I'll let them die, right? I'll let them die." And I mentioned last week with Nassim C. Finkel and Howard Schultz, that true story about you share the blanket. You say, I need the blanket for myself. People are dying. Again, how, what, the numbers, you should not get impoverished necessarily. But if you can save Jews in the Holocaust, you don't say, in Usha, they made a takana of a fifth. So I'm not going to save Jews. I'm very pious. I'll let Jews be burned to death. I won't save their lives. Now, of course you save their lives. I'm very pious. The guy's starving to death on my door. I can't. I'm very religious. I can't, Yeah. No, that's not it. Then for sure you're obligated to help them. Okay. Again, people need to know. Chas v'shalom, we should have to deal with this. We should never hear these things. But in that kind of case, that would obviously be an exception as well. That's number three. Also, the Chazal just said you can't get more than a fifth. Dafka shuvaz next to base ideas pizur from a vajaj, right? You're going to give an extreme a lot. Whatever muat is, if you have a little malacha, you have a set thing, and you have a little bit more. That's not exact. If you give 21%, you did nothing wrong. It means you're giving significant allot when you're going to become impoverished. That's the clarification. Now, says the Chafetz Chaim, just FYI, you can't give more than a fifth says the Chavetz Chaim, they call Ikra Takana, Takanas Usha, was for charity to the poor. But to strengthen Torah, yeshivas, chadarim, kailos, right? The yeshiva, the children, the adults, the kailos, strengthen Torah, sakas Torah, says the Shita Mikubetzes, it's not applicable. It's not applicable. In Ksuvas, it says, and the Chavetz Chaim Paskins, it's not applicable to supporting Torah. The Chemedin, Akasha Avru Yeshlo Vizchar Taraso, and he's going to bring a ride, but just, let's go back now. It's after the Holocaust. You're a person living in Europe, and you see there's no schools, there's no yeshivas, nothing. And you can build Torah, right? You're the part of a Sharav, you're saying the part of a yeshiva in the middle of the Holocaust. And you have that person can give money, right? Again, I'm not saying, I just have to understand, this is, you know, it goes beyond what we're talking about. Some people, if they would give a lot of money, they would not sleep at night, number one. They would be unhappy about doing that. I'm not talking about for someone dying, I'm not talking about the Holocaust. That's an extreme case. And most people could mentally feel good for the rest of their lives, even if they live more simply, because they saved children or people in the Holocaust. It means they will see that and they'll feel that. And so I'd be less concerned for that. But if a person, gives 30% of a deal, 40% of a deal, makes $1 million, okay, and they have $400,000 to build a yeshiva or a yeshiva day school or a kollel to support Torah, okay, and cheder, whatever, they're going to support Torah. And later they may say to themselves, I could get 10%, 100, 200, why do I get 400,000? Hey, it's not like you're saving the debt, right? Or that they push themselves a lot. So you have to know yourself with this type of stuff. This is very important. You know, an amazing deed is only amazing when you go beyond, when you feel good about it. Because otherwise, chas v'shalom, if you regret it, you could lose your merit and you're not happy and it affects your whole Yiddishkeit, affects the whole Judaism. So I say this very, very, very importantly. You're allowed to, and it may be the best thing if you give more, if you're happy and you can do it and it doesn't affect your life and your marriage and your kids. You have to know yourself. But we're talking conceptually here. This is all West Point. This is not the battlefield of life. You personally should have an idea that you could change the world. You can invest in Torah and change the world. Again, one needs to know themselves and how it applies to them. But the Chavetz Chaim says clearly, for Torah, you don't have to kanas usha. And he's going to bring a raya. What's the raya? Yisachar and Zvulun. Kemo shematzino be Yisachar and Zvulun. Sheshevet Zvulun, that Zvulun was machzech Yisachar. The 12 tribes, we know that Yisachar was the learning tribe, and Zvulun were supporting them. And Zvulun, it was a partnership. Yisachar learned Torah. Zvulun also learned Torah, but not all day like that. And they got the merit, they 50-50 of Yisachar's learning. Right? They were getting, they were partners in this. It was a partnership. And therefore, and as the Medrash says, Medrash Rabbah says, why was Zvulun called the third of all of the Nesim? Zvulun loved the Torah. Vehirchav Yadav, and he opened his hand. Lefazer Mamayinu, he spent on Yisachar Shishav Torah. That Yisachar should have the ability to learn Torah. So his batlas Torah, he had all of their, like the man in the desert, right? They had all of their material needs set from Zvulun, and they were able to focus on Torah. Therefore, Zvulun was a partner in this Torah, and the chaver. The Medrash continues, Davar Acher, Ka'ar Lechem Shayim Achilo, Mizr Kenei Hayayin Shayim Ashkeo. Okay? He would share with, it was not just that, like, he gave him something extra, he gave a significant amount. He gave him from his best foods, his best drink, and he got the Shneim Ayinot and Tzchar Torah B'yachad, and he got the Torah, the reward, eternal reward together. And they were supporting that tonight together. So it says the Chavetz Chaim, Shem Shei Zvulun Chilek B'tzchar Torah also. But just, and the Medrash, watch one more line, the Medrash says, just like Zvulun got a 50% portion in the Torah, So to Yisachar was supported very well. Sounds like he got a lot of money from Zvulun. Not supported on the bare minimum, but he was actually put in good shape. Because of Mashu, says the Chavetz Chaim, that you're allowed to give more. If you can be Yisachar Zvulun for Torah, says the Chavetz Chaim, you can give significantly more than 20%. And now again, if anyone ever do this kind of deal, which does occur today, it's all different opinions, it's Chavetz Chaim's opinion, even if they give them a lot, one should ask about this as well. There's ways to do this. So, umatzina b'divrei chazal, lots of things for Yisachar Zvulun for future generations. Elavad kim sheyesh le'ya chazaka, right? If you're getting a portion of this person's learning, there's no bottom. There's no max. You're partners in this. I'm just going to say the brackets over here. It says if you're in a marriage, from this marriage you can see something very important. If you're involved in supporting something in Torah, how should it be? Now, if you went for middle school or high school for base medrash, you went to these yeshivas and they didn't have dorms and they didn't have cafeterias. So they actually slept in people's houses and they took an aid in rotations in other people's houses in the shtetls. Right? It's called Essenteg. When you're supporting these boys, right, you should do it like with a happy face. Like you're making a partnership. You know, a partner brings you money, you feel good, right? If you understand, when you're giving to Torah, you have a chelik in it. This is your investment. You should feel good about that. You know, you should feel happy about that. You know, actually, I was mentioning about children. One of the main, you know, big Rosh Hashivas in New York. You know, he actually has been teaching for decades. He had the first two brachas at my wedding because he's very, very close to my wife's family. His name is Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman is a Shiva of Torah Vadas. He's an author of many works, gives a lot of shiurim. His father-in-law was a very wealthy person. Actually, his family is also pretty wealthy. If you know Reisman's cakes, he's the son of Reisman's cakes, okay? And he himself is a huge Talmud Chacham, really a very, very big Rosh Hashiva. And he said over, and again, I know him pretty well, that his father-in-law used to, when he was younger, and he supported him in Kolo, his father used to always give him a check. And he says, I'm happy to give it with a varma hand, with a warm hand, alive, than in my will, as a dead man. I mean, he was happy to support his son-in-law in Torah. But it's his daughter. He's investing in this man who actually became a great person. When you're investing in children learning Torah, Bachar learning Torah, Kailal people, you should be, you're happy. This is you. You're getting a chelik of that, right? And not to do it, embittered or to give people the bare minimum, right? And says the Chavetz Chaim, based on this whole thing, this other one, a chacham in a bereisho. Smart people have their head on straight. The Isa, and it says in Koheles, the sani sani is kol amali. Ramir says, "Havi kasim tava, havi la'ayim eshtachar." Tlat san kol Shabbos, right? He would, he didn't benefit from all. He worked hard, made money. He didn't do it. So he says, "Havi achla v'shasim echada." He says a third of his salary is in those days, not applicable today, but the concept's applicable. A third of his salary referring to his food, his drinks, all that. A third for his clothes and what he needed. And the other third, he supported the sages. He supported Torah. And so they said to him, this Talmidim said, what are you leaving over for your children? Right? Listen to this. Again, I'm not, you have to ask Shilas, right? But the concept is an important concept. He says, we do live to our children. It's actually very important, by the way. I would never say to do this practically, but the concept's important. Amalu im yohon tzadikim, if my children are righteous, yehan ked adavar, if my kids are righteous, it says, v'lori sitzak nazav, zar makshav, same bench of day, they're righteous, Hashem will take care of them. I am not worthy, I'm not worried about them. V'im lav, if these kids are going to be spending my money to go to Carasio, or to Spain, or to spend on cars, or to gamble, or, to waste, on terrible things, or live sinful lives. Why am I leaving them for? They're my enemies, so to speak. They're not going to bring me merit. Again, this, I'm not recommending this at all, but the concept's important, right? You know, if your children are putting their kids in, living Torah lives, that's you. You're investing yourself. You should leave them a lot of money for what they need to be successful, to put their kids in Jewish schools and live Torah lives, etc. But if they're not, then lav dafka. Actually, I once saw, going, I don't know why I'm in my law school over here, but you know, when I was in law school, I had a case, a very sad case. And I think it was contracts. And it was, well, no, it was a trust estate. It was in Wolves. And it was like in 1970s. This doesn't exist anymore. And it's a couple of cases very similar to this. A Jewish father left over a significant will on condition that his child marries a Jew. That was the will. And there was large estates. And what happened is the kid didn't marry a Jew. That's why I went to court. Kid does not marry a Jew, and they contest the will. And you know what happened? Nebuch, the kid got it. You know why? It's a, the courts felt it's against public policy. A father cannot limit his kid's marriage, right? It means you can't tell a kid you can't marry this person, because that's what the freedom of choice. So this guy's last will is to support Gentile grandchildren. That's what happened. So again, all this is questioned, but the point's the same thing. Look where your eternal investment's going to go to, right? Our money it could be for pizzas, or they could be for eternity. It's very serious. If a person learns Torah, keeps mitzvahs, and doesn't support Jewish education, yeshivas, Torah schools, again, this is pretty harsh, they are arur. It says, arur asher liyakum the Torah, you never support the Torah. Right? If you believe in Torah, you support the Torah. Loy lama, v'loy lima, v'lo shalasa, right? You didn't do anything. And you don't even have, and you support Torah, then you're blessed. It means the same guy is not learned, and he can't even support, but he supports Torah, he's blessed. Of course, a Yid's Torah is very important. Torah is Klal Yisrael. We have Shavuos. We're the nation of Torah. Rav Sadia Gaon called us Am HaTorah, the nation of Torah. Okay, supporting Torah is all important. Okay, and if you don't support Torah and you can, you're not investing in the Jewish people. Right? You're not investing. You know, we support Torah. Kol Orer is Bechal Baruch. I kasha. That's the matter. It's all for the matter. Not just the Chavetz Chaim. It's an issue. Godo says the Chavetz Chaim now how important it is to support Torah. Even if you support it with your, and you can't afford a lot, you give something, you're blessed. And certainly, if you can support it with a lot, you're really blessed, right? The says the Chavetz Chaim, going back to this. So by the way, that's a fifth. So you have a few exceptions. You can give for Torah more than a fifth. You can give, obviously, again, you can do 21%. You can give if people are starving, dying, Holocaust. You can give if you're super duper wealthy. And it's not going to affect you. You could give on in your will on a person's deathbed. From this takana of Usha, from this whole takana, this whole ordinance, right, to help the people who become impoverished themselves, it shouldn't be more than 20%. How important it is with the money we spend. Think about your money. Money at some level is eternal life. Okay? Shalom, lefazer oisim, don't waste it. Now, I just invested money. Told my wife, we have an off weekend for yeshiva in a few weeks. We're going to drive to New York, to Detroit, actually. And I'm going to spend the cost of money to get a kosher Airbnb there. That's not luxury. That's what my family needs, right? It doesn't mean to live, to live like a Meshuggah, like, you know, unless you're like literally a saint. I mean, But you need to understand the money we spend, right? So it is an investment. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm sharing, by the way. When I moved to Chicago from the Bay Area, you know, it's very hard to move children. So one of the attractions that I spent a little more, besides having a large family, was to have more bedrooms for a house. And my kids were excited about that. It was a big thing. By the way, sorry for those things in the Bay Area, you can buy way more for your money in Chicago. I can never afford my house in the Bay Area because the dollar goes way less, you know, a square foot there is like, whoa! So I sold my house in San Jose. I could have bought a whatever area. It was like crazy. I'm serious. You know, it's like, and by the way, Chicago, the housing goes up and nothing like the Bay Area. It's like nothing, just so you should know. But the point is you have to be a thought process. A person's money is important. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is saying, right? Don't waste it. Now, it doesn't mean to live frugal where it's to your detriment. Don't buy cheap foods and then you get sick, right? Don't, you know, when you're married, you have kids, you have all kinds of thought processes, what they need, not luxuries. And what maybe a luxury to you is a necessity for someone else in your family, right? And there's investments that help your happiness and mental health. And that, these are all important things. But then there's things which are just luxury and materialism, hedonism, and that's just a bad investment. And you're not even, it doesn't bring you happiness in any of this world. Right? Things, staka, supporting your family, children, mitzvahs, lulavs, esrogs, sukkahs, kosher food. They help a person in this world and eternal world, right? And even then, listen to this. Even when you have staka, the Torah has to think, too much may be bad. Too much may not be enough. People are starving, right? I mean, the word about a person, in this case, becoming poor, right? And Hashem will help you. How much more? So don't waste your money. If the Torah's worried about you spending too much and hurting yourself, right? A guy is lower middle class, and they're not poor people by his door, and they're not talking about supporting Torah, and he's not dying, and he's making, $160,000, and his expenses are $150,000, and he can't afford this. Don't impoverish yourself. That's what the Torah is saying. And they're worried about that. Certainly don't, you know, lifestyle decisions today. Today, people make crazy lifestyle decisions. They make it impossible for themselves to live because everything is, you know, has to be. All the commercials, they get suckered to buy everything and to do everything. It's in, or for status, right? And it doesn't come with you to the grave. I've said this, you know, on Yom Kippur's in San Jose. You don't get buried with a Lexus or a Tesla or a Honda. You don't get buried with your car. You don't get buried with that. If you have a one-floor house, you're buried by yourself. Right? It doesn't come with you. It doesn't go with you to the eternity, your car or your house. Now, it may help you in this world, perhaps, if it's the right thing for you. But you have to know it's not coming with you. Right? At least, Mamish would be to wear fancy designer clothes. You have to live in a mansion, a pristine mansion with the best ornaments, right? Well, you have lots of housekeepers, or with a kelim, you have a car, you have fancy, you know, utensils. You spend lots of money, you don't have extra cash, right? The fanciest phone and computer, you know, right? And constantly new ones. I'm not talking about if it's your parnasa, you need it. You need it, you know, you're in a throwaway society. And then some people end up, because they have to live a certain lifestyle, they end up stealing, cutting corners, cheating on taxes, whatever it is, or borrowing, you know, credit cards that can't even afford it. The Adati, says the Chafetz Chaim, Adati, S, Tainas Yetzer. The Yetzer is very willy, very cunning. Shemesis HaAdam, no, you need it for your Parnasa. Shemesis HaAdam, you know, if you live a certain lifestyle, people look up to you. But he says the whole world, it's all hevel, it's all silliness. Shekol ha'yoyim, right? Know if a person's real or not, if it's real or fake. People waste their money. Ve'oyid, and he says more than this, if you get used to a fancy lifestyle, flamboyant, wasteful, hedonistic, your own children and your spouses, everyone thinks it's you're a wealthy person, and they expect more. Someone just told me, you know, obviously I'm very fortunate that part of my job is to fundraise for Torah. You know, I have a lot of other hats I wear in my job, but like, you know, a lot of other things I do with it. Part of it's fun. Like, so I asked about someone recently, you know, a person, someone, and this is obviously for me, it's Tuelis, and there's a family member of this person, and his family member told me, no, this guy's a fake. The family member told me, he said he has no money, he pretends he has money. He comes, like, the whole thing's a fake. The guy's family member told me, his whole life is a fake, right? But what happens is, the crazy thing is, the children don't know he's a fake. And they now want from the father the designer jackets and go to all this expensive traveling sleepaway camps. And when they're teenagers, they want to get a car. And not just a car, a stylus car. Because now the kids are buying into this as well, by the way. And they grow up that way. They need that. And you end up spending more and more. And you have nothing to spend on Torah and Mitzvah's eternity. Right? Right? You mortgage yourself. There are people, I know people, who mortgage themselves for their kids' weddings. Now, a person needs a wedding, which is normal, but they need to have flowers like crazy. And this, people can't afford it. People who can't afford it, and they go into debt for this. Right? They have varts, like they have to have a fancy vart, and they spend money they don't have. There's no mitzvah to have a fancy of arts. Bar mitzvah is like, when I was younger, it actually got better. Bar mitzvah actually, in my days, it got better. I mean, in most communities, I think. People are spending crazy money on bar mitzvah. What do you think that's giving you eternity? Spend $50,000 on a bar mitzvah? That gives you nothing. You have a bar mitzvah, you can be happy, you can have his class, you have some kids, whatever. Right? And this is not the tachas of simcha regil, and that's a bar mitzvah. At least you can say, "Kick me." But the things that people are saying are stupidity. The things that don't last. And again, this is Walt West Point. Everyone needs to know themselves. Everyone has different needs. Everyone has different expectations. Everyone's family is very important. You make these decisions. You live, even if you're able to have less. Sometimes your family needs more. Sometimes your family doesn't need more. So you're just, these are all needs to have. A lot of thought out, chachma, wisdom, rabbinical counsel. But it's important to know these ideas, the concepts, the thought processes are important. The tachas, so you get a moment of sensual or physical pleasure, you go on the vacation, spend $50,000 to go to who knows where, or instead of spending Pesach on home, it could be sometimes people need Pesach, but they don't just go to Pesach. They're going, whoa, to this $10,000 person, Pesach tour, per person, they have 8 people going, you know, and then for that $80,000 they could have spent for tzedakah, for Torah, for mitzvahs, for whatever. Akin HaChacham, therefore, a wise person, we're almost done, in a bereisho, shol chalasim, don't waste your money on things that are not going to give you eternal bang. No, if you're investing in stocks, people ask questions. They think about it ahead of time. Think about the money you're investing in eternal stocks. Every dollar you spend, which is on the flex money, and even the not flex money, it's an investment. How are you doing? Again, we all have needs. I'm just going to give you 2 things in my own life, very easy. Going to Detroit in a few weeks, I got an Airbnb, you know, and I could probably got in someone's house and put my kids here. I would have been, not a vacation, but not a schmuck. I would worry the whole time in someone's house. Like, you know, in that case, you know, and again, when I sold my house, I was like, I had a cheshbon. I'm very happy with the cheshbon I made, the thought process I made. But, you know, I'm a kid, say, every time I'm happy, sometimes I look back, why is the money over here? But it's an investment. You have to think through it. And not everything is to be frugal or whatever. It's not. There are lots of good things to spend on yourself. If you... You know, I'll tell you a very small thing. You know, my wife and I were buying the eggs, like the cage-free eggs, which are much healthier, right? And more expensive. So, I could spend, you know, buy that, whatever. I'm not such a California health freak, by the way. You know, just, I looked at the information. They actually taste better, too, but they're healthier. They have more nutrients. So, it's a very small thing, but it costs more money, and it adds up. But it's a good investment. It just means know yourself. Know your needs. It is so important to know yourself in this. And no 2 people are alike. And for some person, it's a luxury. Some person really It's a mitzvah to have that makes them happier in this world. And but to think about the money you spend, where you're spending it, how you're spending it. And include, of course, your family and your spouse and be honest about it. Oida Marti, this is the last paragraph. You're spending a tenth or even more. Go to Harbet Tzikasam, right? It's much more just giving charity to the guy who knocks on your door. When you give, just give tzedakah, here a guy knocks on the door, you give tzedakah, okay? But when you give 10%, your whole business, your whole profession is connected to mitzvah. So it means you know you're making $100,000 a year, after taxes, 10,000 is going to tzedakah. So when you work, everything, the whole 100,000 is part of a mitzvah because it's all part of meiser. Which is, says the Chafetz Chaim, you've now made your job a different type of job. Hey, if a guy gets to the door, it's random. That's a random thing. You don't know who's coming, when they're coming. But when you have meiser or chaymesh, tithing, right, 20%, then really everything you do, your whole job is mitzvah. So, prat, last word, paragraph, last sentence. In the HQ of Atzma, you accept on it, you think it, I'm working, part of my work is to give charity. Part of my work is to give tithing. That means you've accepted yourself that everything you're doing is uplifted. It means your whole job is now on a higher different. My yafa chelko, how great is this person's portion? Manaim, how pleasant is his eternal future. Such a person lives differently. Such a person views the world differently, they work differently, and their eternity is different as well. Okay, we'll halt here as we march forward. It's the 35th night of this summer. We're just about 2 weeks away from Shavuos. Wishing everyone a good night, a good Shabbos, and Mitzvah Shem will pick up next week.